This is space. This is the final frontier. These are the cases before the court. Its mission: legislate strange new crimes, seek out new perpetrators and new defendants, to jurisprudently go where no law has gone before. This is The People versus Star Trek Voyager.
The People versus Star Trek Voyager is recorded in front of no one.
For the defense,
Commander Matthias Zapp Spurlock, Starfleet Pro Bono Legal Fund.
Prosecution.
Super Sea Lord, Super Admiral of the Grand Super Fleet, John Q. Continuum Esquire.
Judge.
The Honorable Midnightian Later.
May it please the court, case on the docket is 320, Favorite Son, stardate 50732.4. Original air date 3/19/97.
Order in the court. As is well known to all here, these proceedings are being broadcast to the Alphabet Squadron. So I expect a civil tone and a consummate air of professionalism. No rancor, no ribaldry, and not even a sniff of the lemongrass. The question before the court is this: is Star Trek Voyager a misunderstood gem, or just plain, tawdry garbage? Now your opening arguments. Keep them brief.
Thank you, Your Honor. I will indeed be brief. What the hell did I just watch? Favorite Son. Well, that was a thing that happened. Someone thought it was a good idea enough of a good idea to put it on television. That person should be arrested and confined, and their uncle's tractor supply store should be foreclosed on and turned into a shelter for living pizzas down on their luck. Then maybe, just maybe, they'll never do this sort of thing again. Because shit, it's bad. It's just so bad. But hey, at least we helped those struggling pizzas. Thank you.
Commander Spurlock.
Your Honor, we always knew that there was something special about Harry Kim. He's the heart, soul, and dare I say, the pancreas of this crew. But to have that confirmed by this episode, to see him finally elevated to the place of reverence we have long known he so richly deserved, well, all I'll say is thank you, Voyager, for rewarding our faith in this bright, shining star rocketing its way through the Star Trek universe.
Now, the evidence will be presented in the format agreed upon by the Fairfax Addendum to the Kittimer Accords. Audio recordings of three white guys interrupting each other. Play the holocron. Chakotay!
Favorite
I know, son. I started talking favorite, first. I started talking first, favorite, son of a bitch.
Favorite son.
Some folks are born, made away the flag.
Oh, that's Fortunate Son, isn't it?
Favorite son.
Jesus Christ.
Favorite.
I tried so hard to just immediately start talking.
Chakotay's on a ship and they're in space.
Favorite son.
Okay.
What is this voice?
Are you doing Harry Carey?
That sounds like Harry Carey. Favorite son.
Hey.
If you're a hot dog.
If your favorite son was a hot dog.
What do you think he would eat himself? I would. I'd be delicious.
I would. Okay. So, episode begins.
Yes.
This episode begins.
With?
Chakotay. They're marking some coordinates with Kim. Harry has like a, this just seems familiar. And then they give Tuvok some dumb line about like, you're having a precognitive brain tuba-jube.
You're experiencing a paradoxical state-dependent associative phenomenon.
And Janeway's like, deja vu, ya momo.
Deja vu, ya momo.
Then they're like, there's a ship approaching. Their shields are down. No weapon systems are armed.
Right.
She's like, they're hailing us. She's like, great. You see her being like, yes, business as usual.
Oh, right. New friends.
New friends.
New friends for the Starship Voyager.
Hold space hands.
the alien introduces himself as Albin, captain of the Narada. You're entering Nasari territory. I would like to welcome you. Meanwhile, Harry Kim is like, the ship's going to fire. We need to do something.
Die!
And they're like, what? Are you? He's like, they're raising shield and firing phasers. And they're like, no, they're not.
They're powering up their weapons.
And he just grabs control of everything, fires on the ship.
Yep.
And then they start returning fire. And I will say, I have a lot of fucking complaints about this episode, but this cold open is good.
Yeah.
It's a hot cold open.
Yeah, that's a hot cold open.
Yeah. I actually think the first like act or two are okay.
Until they get to the planet,
Until we get to
what's going on.
Yeah.
Because I'm immediately like, holy shit, what happened? Yeah. I'm immediately concerned about the repercussions for Harry. Like, oh no, this is what's going on?
Is it a design flaw that what con is that that he's at? He's not tactical, right?
That's like this. Is that the
Tuvok's tactical?
He's like, is that science? Some sort of science-y con?
Yeah, it's the one that Torres sits at when she's up there. Yeah. Why should he be able to so easily usurp control of the entire ship?
Well, is that the engineering con? Is that sort of like the engineering hub? Maybe?
I guess so. Yeah.
So but I guess like that, I guess that would kind of make sense that like you could just
press of a button and everybody else is locked out of the command.
Let's just go ahead and accept the fact that it's been clearly established that Voyager is all open source.
it's
all OGL.
It's a wiki ship.
You can
you can go in and edit things.
You can
things,
get in, you can get out. In,
that's, can, yeah. But that's standard, though, because, I mean,
they do that sometimes.
I mean, think about, purpose. Like, you know, when, go back to, like, the original series, the movies or whatever, Scotty, like, reroutes every possible control to the bridge, like, for even things that are in the bridge.
Because
you got to be able to route it anywhere on the ship.
Because you never know what's going to be damaged.
Exactly. The bridge could be, you know, open to space. You'd have to reroute it to, you know, Billy's bedroom.
Maybe you should give the captain like a real quick command override code.
Yeah.
Override Delta 426, and then it undoes that or something.
Yeah.
Because they're all just sort of stand there helpless while he starts a war.
Yeah.
Yep. And which, right after the cold open, my first note is like, well, Kim, you done shit the bed now. And I think I will go ahead and say it shows how well established this character is in our understanding of him.
Sure.
We immediately understand this is absolutely the way Harry Kim would never act this way.
Something's wrong.
Something's very wrong. And how Janeway handles this, like I was like curled up into the fetal position when she's like, you will explain yourself, but for now you are relieved.
Yeah.
And he just like stands there awkwardly throughout the rest of the scene. Just like he got a little cut on his head, but clearly he's like, I'm dying inside.
I'm in trouble.
I'm in so much trouble.
Hey, can we talk about
Starfleet mom is mad at me.
I just want to make sure we talk about the action Chakotay leap over the banister rail.
Yeah,
that was nice. In the credits.
Yeah.
When he's like, when he's like, Kim, get the hell out of the way. And he just like, whoa, one-handed vaults over the rail behind the bridge chairs there.
You know, he watched that on the dailies and made them like make him a copy and he made people watch it for years.
So he trained for 6 weeks to be able to do that.
So the warp engines are down. Harry looks like he's going to throw up. They have a quick dogfight with the other ship. But eventually they move away just because Voyager is able to juke them and they're basically seem to be on roughly equivalent footing technology-wise.
But Kim got the drop on them.
Kim got the drop on them, so they have the advantage. So eventually they move away. And then she wheels on Harry and like, you're going to tell me exactly what you thought you were doing. And he goes into like, I don't really know, but somehow I knew
there was a Tetrion surge.
And I knew they were going to fire. How could you know that? And he's like, I don't know. I can't explain it. And she says something very,
I got a feeling.
Yeah. He got a funny feeling. And she says something that I think is a perfect Janeway line. Like, I trust your intentions, but your actions are going to need more justification. You're relieved. You're suspended from duty.
Go to sick bay. Get out of my
sight. No, I love how she delivers that line, which clearly is a nothing line. Go to sick bay. Have a look at that cut.
Yeah.
Like, she really want to say, look at your whole fucking
thing that you've got going on right now. Just
check
have
your
doctor
brain,
just check all of it.
Check your brain.
But in Star Trek tradition, she doesn't immediately like throw him in the brig or say, "You've lost your mind." You know, there's still this one, okay, you're a trusted colleague. I'm giving you some benefit of the doubt
I'm not going to let you keep standing behind the console.
You've
been
compromised in some way, but I'm not throwing you out the airlock either.
And this is where the episode kind of shoots itself in the foot, because this whole first section with Harry dealing with the guilt of this like impulsive decision, wherever it came from, because the next scene is Torres is super banged up, got third degree burns because of the explosion. Like, he put the ship in danger. He could have gotten the whole ship destroyed.
Yeah.
All this exploration, and then even the weird dream he has in a minute, all this like exploration of like guilt and expectation and how he could have, like, I was like, I'm into this. This is cool and interesting.
Yeah.
But then they make it to the planet. And we'll save it. We'll stay in the good part as long as we can.
Let's live here.
So Kes and the Doctor are working on Torres, which she was so burned. I honestly didn't pick up it was Torres.
Yeah,
at first.
I didn't see that it was her at first. Yeah.
Kim looks super guilty, as of course he would. Luckily, she doesn't die. The Doctor gets some snazzy line about, "We snatched another one from the jaws of death." And he's like, "This was my fault." And he's talking to the Doctor like, "I was so sure, but now you're not." He's like, "It's fading. Like, it was like this momentary feeling that I was so sure of."
Right.
And then it just went away. And I was like, I know it's not going to be this. I know Star Trek can't have this, but if in some universe there was a whole episode about he had this like weird precognitive hunch, never happened before, will never happen again. He made this decision in the spur of the moment, and the whole episode, there is no explanation. There is no, it's just a weird moment of deja vu. He had a hunch and he went off of it.
Right.
But then it's all about the repercussions
of
that moment, exploring it on the ship. I would eat that up.
And what if there was just never any real explanation for his decision-making there other than maybe just the cumulative pressure of having lived, of outrunning death for 3 years, basically, which is what they've been doing at this point.
Which is something they don't get into enough, I think. I have some thoughts about that
for
later.
For somebody like Harry in particular, coming to the deep grappling with the realization that he'll probably never see his family again, in all likelihood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if they make it home, it's going to take so long that his parents will probably have passed on by that point.
Mm-hmm.
I would have loved to see that episode.
Yeah.
And maybe there's never really a supernatural explanation as to why he did what he did, or maybe you throw something in there at the end, who knows.
I mean, clearly they needed one because he acted so out of character. There had to be some other influence that compelled him to do it. But still, I would have loved to have seen that. Okay.
People do weird shit under cumulative strain that.
Even exactly.
Guys that are really squared away, you know, under normal circumstances, their brains just act up on them.
Like, I was so sure that they were going to fire. Like, I saw that burst, I knew it. And I knew if I didn't act immediately, we would all die. And just exploring, like if the scene later with January, she's like, "You were right. If they just did it the opposite, you were wrong.
Yeah.
They weren't going to fire on us. Now we've made an enemy that we wouldn't have had.
And now how do we deal with you exactly? What's the fair way to deal with you?"
Yeah. That would have been...
To you could have happened to anyone, but it didn't. It happened to you, and we have to respond to it in some way.
Right, right.
I just spilled so much coffee on myself.
Well, moving on.
It's lukewarm, though.
So is now a good time to talk about the fact that Kes is back in her midnight purple velour cat suit in this episode?
Go ahead.
Well, she's back. And I think that the presence of that in no small way contributed to bringing Torres back from death's door. Torres was walking into that light. Janeway's space dad was there. And she was like, "You know what? I'm going back for one more look.
One more gander."
You got to dress for success.
That's right.
If you're going to save lives, you better be wearing
that.
You got
to give them something to come back for.
Right.
You know?
The Doctor sort of ends the scene with, "You can't undo what has been done," which I was like, cool. I'm digging where this episode's going. And I love the moment where he walks out the door and the security officer's there because he's been suspended from duty. A security officer is going to follow him everywhere. And I really wanted him to be like, "Come on, Tim." You know, because of course he would know that guy. Like, he knows everyone on the ship. But they just sort of awkwardly nod and then walk out in the stream. Now we get the wonderful treasure trove of Harry Kim's bad dream.
This is so terrible.
Where we see Harry's mom, and she's going to make some soup for him, but then his mom suspends him from duty, and I was like, oh, God!
We raised you to be a responsible boy.
I was like, oh, man, there's a lot to unpack here.
Well, I love it. He's like, she's like, I'm suspending you from duty. He's like, Mom!
Yeah. They just went ahead and said, yep, that's... if you thought Harry Kim psyche was complicated, it is not.
It is
it's
not.
Exactly nope. What you
what
thought
you think it
was.
Is. Yep. Every authority figure is his mom. Mm-hmm. Every female authority figure, anyway, is
even
his mom.
Chakotay is his
even
mom.
Even Chakotay is his mom, yeah.
He sort of blearily stumbles out of that dream. They have the cool where he pulls out the sink. That's cool. I love when they show that stuff, like the function. Where
right.
He pulls out the sink and the water comes out.
He's got nice quarters for an ensign on
he
a
does.
Small ship.
Well, of course, some quarters have been freed up over the past 3 years.
That's true. Yeah, that room probably used to sleep four people.
That used to be Ensign Kaplan's quarters.
Oh, Ensign Kaplan.
Kaplan, no. She went on a little trip with Chakotay.
Nah. Kaplan, Kim, and Hulk and Hogan used to.
They used to be bunkmates.
Used to be bunkmates.
Bunkmates.
But then he sees that he has weird markings on his face. I was like, which I was still like, cool.
Mm-hmm.
This is surprising. I don't know what this is.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, this is a manifestation of whatever thing caused him to have that
sure.
precognitive moment.
Right.
So. He's gone down to back to sick bay where the doctor's saying like, yeah, I mean, it's weird. It doesn't seem to be dangerous. I won't have to quarantine you. And he brings up that I used to have the Mundakin pox. Do you think this could be related? He's like, well, your blood chemistry hasn't been altered. I don't think so. And then finally Harry asks like, could there be psychological effects from whatever this
right.
disease is? And the doctor says, yeah, I don't think so, but I'll do a closer analysis just to be sure. Then he goes over and talks to Torres, and she's just waking up from a full 24 hours of all of super science medicine to bring her back to where she is now. There was an accident in engineering. She is going to have a full recovery, except some of her ribs are still a little frayed. And she's like, I love how she immediately, she's like, what happened to your face?
What's wrong with your face? What's on your face, Starfleet?
And they give her, their interaction is great. Like, she's like, because he's just clearly like, I feel so terrible.
It's
my
so
fault
bad.
That this happened. And she's like, it looks kind of cute. You kind of look like a speckled targ.
Kind of looks like a trill.
Yeah, he does look like a trill.
Like they look like he's getting trill spots. Yeah.
The trill. And then he's like, I'm really sorry you got hurt. And then she's like, what is it? And he's like, never mind. And I'm like, oh, this is it. This is the big plot thread of he got Torres hurt. Has because he immediately told the doctor this is my fault, but now when he's faced with Torres, he's like, I'm just glad, never mind, I'm just glad you're feeling better. And then he starts to walk off, and she's like, see you later, Spot. And I was like, A, racist, but B, hilarious, much better nickname than Starfleet.
Yep,
Spot. Now we go to the interview with Captain Mom.
I guess she doesn't know it's racist at that point because she thinks it's a medical condition and not a racial trait.
So just rude.
I wonder if later when she found out it was a racial trait, she's like, oh my God, I called Spot. I can't believe I did that.
I think it's like how I will call someone who just got a haircut.
Yeah.
Same thing.
But like, I think in her mind, that moment. But then like, what if you called somebody a haircut and then found out that racially their hair always looks freshly cut?
Exactly.
Oh shit.
You'd be like, that was so racist. You're like, I hope I've never done that.
Is
there a race?
Is there a race? It blew my mind.
Damn, haircut race.
Haircut race.
Okay, so he's gone to the interview with Captain Mom, where she's like, she lets him off the hook pretty much immediately. Like, they were charging their weapons. We did a scan. Because they shot their weapons plenty of times, and he says, it's the same
signature
energy
matches.
It's like, signature matches. You were right. And he's like, I knew we were in trouble, but how did I know? And then he starts talking about how the area of space gets more and more familiar. And I've tried to think of every possible explanation. And he rattles off some fun Star Trek-y concepts. And then he's like, the list just gets weirder and weirder. And then he's like, well, we need to figure out what's going on with your sudden illness. Then they walk onto the bridge. And they're realizing that the aliens they had fought with before are back, but now there's three ships. And they say, okay, what are we going to do? Our warp drive is jacked. We warp three, maybe, but we can't outrun them. And then Harry's like, wait, show me a star chart of this region. They're like, okay. He's like, head for this system.
Yeah.
We'll be safe there. I'm sure of it. And Janeway's looking, looks like Tuvok. He's like, well, we definitely can't fight them.
He was right about the other thing, so.
And so they're like, she's like, okay, follow Harry's course as fast as we can go. So we jump to a few hours later. They're about to be overtaken in 2 minutes. And they have the moment where, like, they can keep running, but if they want to stop at the place that Harry sent them, they have to go to slow down to impulse. They basically have to, like, and Chakotay's like, are you sure? And she's like, yes, we'll make our stand here. And then Harry is like, it's Teresia.
Teresia.
Teresia. And then their big ship comes out, blows up the three other ships.
No. It just, does it actually?
Oh, it disables them. It disables them.
That's it just knocks them out and they leave.
And then I think it's Chakotay, which I think this is like a meta joke, maybe, of like, what's your next trick, Harry? A shuttlecraft out of a hat?
And then for as quickly as they go through shuttlecraft, it might be a good trick to have.
They're hailed by the big ship. A very nice lady appears on the screen. She's like, she looks directly at Harry. She's like, there you are. And he's like, do you know me? She's like, yes, of course. You're from here. Welcome home.
Welcome home, you alien bastard.
She's a soap opera actress of some renown.
Yeah, she looked very familiar.
Yeah, she's made the rounds through like Days of Our Lives and Guiding Light and a number of other things. She's one of those. She's also, all right, Jonathan, help me remember this Deep Space Nine episode where like the weird sort of like pioneer-looking family shows up. I'm only remembering vague details from it, but I just remember the mom is in like a blue prairie dress and has bouffant hair.
Oh, God.
They're refugees of some kind.
Vaguely.
Anyway, all I can remember about that episode is that she plays the mom in that. So she's a Star Trek veteran. So there's if she looks familiar to you, there's a reason she's been in a ton of shit.
What's her name?
She's good. She's like, good in this.
I think it was like, I looked it up last night.
What's the character's
like
name?
Deborah Kay or something.
Deborah May.
Deborah May. I was close. Yeah, she is good in this.
So now we've arrived at Teresia for the next scene where they're escorted back to the home world. And this is where I was like, okay, so this is not going to be an exploration of guilt. And
Sanctuary is the name of that Deep Space Nine.
That Deep Space Nine episode. Yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
This is not going to be an exploration of guilt or the long-term effects of all the pressure they've been under. This is something much weirder. And I wasn't immediately opposed to it. Like before this scene where she's like, oh, you're from here. I was like, what? Okay, how does that work? He's not even from this quadrant of space.
Yeah.
But okay, weirder things have happened in Star Trek. Mm-hmm. I'm interested.
Yeah.
And the whole concept of someone who's thought they were a human for three seasons finds out they're a totally different race. That has happened in other properties. That's a thing.
It's the Wesley Crusher thing, right? The goofy kid.
The traveler.
Turns out, oh, he was an omniscient alien all along.
Thank you for burying him in your womb, Beverly.
He was space Jesus.
Well, up to the point where she explains that, you know, we sent you out and you were born with someone else. She would have, you know, like up to that point, I was like, okay, I'm all right with that. That'd be interesting. And I will tell you, interestingly enough, for the initial script, they were planning on keeping him as an alien. The whole, like, that was going to stick.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Like, there was no do-over?
No, there was no, like, it was a virus and you're... Like,
that would have been a lot more interesting.
That would have been cool.
Yeah.
So like, he actually looks better with the spots.
Yeah.
It would have been cool if, like, he was destined to be their savior, and then he decides, hey, no, sorry, I didn't choose that. I chose Starfleet, and I'm continuing on, but then he has to grapple with the fact that he's this messiah.
Yeah, and that he's, you know, not human. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that his mom's not really his mom.
But that's not what happens.
No.
Nope.
And admittedly, they beam down, and when the flotilla of extremely attractive women.
Hello.
I was like, oh no.
Oh God.
We're doing this, are we?
Yep. Mm-hmm. We are.
And I immediately remember, like, oh my God, this is the biggest trap ever laid. And Harry will walk right into it.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Which he does.
Tom will try to follow him into it, and they'll be like, no.
Yeah. Back to the there ship, are some fun, human. Like, subtle Tom shutdown moments in this episode. Okay. So, of course, there's like, Janeway's like, we want to ask some questions before we start celebrating. And this is where we get the story, the sales pitch. Like, well, Teresian genes, he was conceived here as an embryo, and then he was implanted in the womb of an Earth woman. This is when I think I texted you guys. I was like, is Harry Kim space Jesus?
No. No, he's not.
Well, as you find out later, but right now he kind of is.
Kind of is.
Yeah. For these people, he's a savior who has returned in a way.
And he's like, you're saying I'm not human? And then another guy wanders up, who I called Brad.
Handsome 90s man.
Hey.
Patrick Fabian.
Patrick Fabian.
Discovered we're not quite who we thought we were.
He was on Saved by the Bell, the college years.
Okay, cool.
Melrose Place.
And he, so there's lots of, everything is geared around making Harry comfortable and stop asking questions.
Yeah.
Like, go get him something to drink, bring him a snack.
Rub his
all
biceps.
These ladies rubbing him and rubbing his shoulders. But Janeway's like, hold up. How would we came by accident? Like, it is a one in a trillion chance that we're even in this part of space.
No, he would have still found his way.
He was driven. Your accident brought him here faster.
But he would have still done it.
He would have found a way. I'm like,
or he would have died before he fucking got there, like on the way there.
And then they even throw in like, well, he's the most special because he's the first to return from such a great distance.
Oh, yeah.
And then
such a great.
They do the like, the this is how Teresians say thank you, which is to stroke the cheek in the most sexual, patronizing way possible.
Right. That's and how I was I like, say oh, thank you.
Yeah, I wish you would stop that. In fact, I'm not going to do anything nice for you ever again because I want you to stop stroking my face. Then they go on like, he's like, how do I know this? How do I know that stroking your face in a gross way is saying thank you in this culture? It's like, oh, it's encoded in your genes. You'll remember more about us as you spend time here. Stay with us a while. Celebrate. And I'm like, okay, they're a cult. They're an evil cult.
Have a sexy celebration.
One of us.
Have the sexiest of celebrations.
One of us.
I was watching this with Melissa last night, and she said it looks like the lady has a like a pool triangle. You know, the things that you use to get all the balls in the triangle on a pool table. Yes. Totally it looks like she's wearing a pool triangle.
Rack them up.
rack them up. Yeah, rack them up.
And then someone, I think it's Tom's like, is this the standard welcome here? And they're like, for males it is. Our species is 90% female. And then I wrote, really? In all caps.
Of course they are.
Of course they now. Then they go on to explain that the other aliens that attacked him detected a Teresian, and that's why they attacked Voyager. Mm-hmm. But our defense capabilities are far greater than they'll ever know. But that's also why Harry had an instinctively hostile reaction to them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But stay here for a while. Stay here for a while. And Harry's like, yeah, I want to stay here for a while. And Janeway's like, yeah, okay. Which I'm like, really? No one sees, not enough red flags in this conversation. Yeah,
it's totally fine, man. It's totally fine.
But, you know, I can kind of get there because Janeway's like, okay, well, theoretically, we're under the auspices that this is his real family, his real race. We must respect their culture and their ways and their, you know, how they're just kind of groping him a bunch.
But surely Janeway has seen enough Star Trek to know that an alien race being nice is a good thing. An alien race being too nice is really bad.
She's seen the historical documents.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so many logistical questions.
Yeah.
I guess now's a good place. Like, I was like, okay, so hypothetically, how this race reproduces, they have sex here, then they go up to 500 million light years away, implant the child in a different race's womb, the males.
Mm-hmm. And then males and females.
Oh, males and females. That's right. That's what they say now.
Yeah, they didn't.
And then they are compelled to come back to home base, to the home planet, to begin the cycle again. And I was like,
that doesn't make any sense.
I could almost get there with the first explanation. Before we find out later, that's not how this works at all.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, but obviously there's going to be lots of them that die and never make it. I thought of it like sea turtles. I was like, sure. Okay, so this is like intergalactic sexy sea turtles. And
now that's the show I want to watch.
Intergalactic sexy sea
turtles. So theoretically, this most of the kids that need to come back are going to die.
Yes.
And it seems like since they definitely it's 90% female to 10% male, you have very few males. And I was like, okay, this is going to be the hinge of the episode. Harry, they have very few males. That means Harry can't leave, or this race is good. It's a very bad thing if he leaves.
Right. Yeah,
that's where all the pressure is going to come from. I'm like, gross, but okay. Okay, we're still basically I already hate this so far, but I'm like, okay, I can live with this.
Right.
Stay here for a while. So now we cut to Harry's looking at some words, and they're like, oh, our written language is very complicated. Do you want me to read it to you? And then this is where we get the nice Tom Paris shutdown moment, where it was like one of them walks by with a plate of food, and he's like, oh, what's that? He's like, oh, spiced Atana. I made it for Harry. And she basically like pushes him out of the way.
It's not for you, human.
And I was like, nice. And then Harry's like, oh, well, could I meet my biological parents? Like, he's so excited. He's like, oh, okay, cool. And they're like, oh, well, the fathers take the embryos to other worlds. So, and then they die. They kind of just like mutter off into the... And I'm like, so, okay, wait.
You have a shortage of males.
Shortage of males. And then you risk the few males you have to... Mm-hmm. What? It's already like the... It helped later in the episode when it's revealed all this is a lie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because the logic breaks down. But then the lie is even dumber. Like, the actual way it works is even kind of dumber.
This is why they have to start rubbing on you immediately when you show up. As soon as you set foot on their planet, the pretty ladies start rubbing on you, because otherwise you...
Shut down higher brain function immediately.
Exactly. Engage the lizard brain so that they don't think for a second about the story that you're throwing out there.
Which, and this is one of my major complaints with the episode, and I hope this doesn't come off too creepy, but I think that something that the show doesn't explore enough is the effects of them all being trapped together long-term on one ship, mm-hmm. with only so many sexual partners, only so many ways for romance, for emotion, but also just for sexual gratification. They've explored the holodeck enough, to my chagrin. But I felt like, okay, any human put in this situation with enough of this thrown at him, it's sort of unrealistic to me that he's not like, yeah, all right,
Okay.
Yeah.
What do I? You got to put the blindfold on. Turn around.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah. He's supposed to be what? Probably he's an ensign, so maybe he's 25, 26. You're all young man.
Yeah.
His level of resistance here is impressive.
It's impressive,
to say the least.
It's impressive. And I don't mind that he ultimately resists, because he resists their temptations because he understands that there's danger.
Mm-hmm.
But he resists it very long time before he knows there's any danger.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know.
At this point, everybody seems cool with what's going on. Why isn't he just kind of like, hell yeah, we're all consenting adults. Let's do this.
Yeah.
You need some babies? I can give you some babies.
Yeah, it's a weird prudishness that feels like old Roddenberry Trek.
Yeah.
Which Voyager has kind of tried to like shed that now that they're horny on Maine.
Right.
And this episode is very horny on Maine. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But I was like, I don't know. It felt weird. It didn't jibe well with me. Okay. So, anyway, the fathers take the embryos. They die. We don't care. Anyway, here, let me rub your shoulders some more, which, you know, okay, fine. I don't really care what happens to my biological parents.
Right.
And this is when he finally says, like, hey, I'd like to stay for a while. And Janeway is like, yeah, contact us when you're ready. You're never going to be ready. Will you?
you're going to stay there, aren't you?
Okay, so then we jump to Voyager and sickbay. There was a quick line before where they said they had explained how these fragments of Teresian DNA were always there in his system, but as he got closer, they've started expressing themselves and dominating and stuff. And the doctor's like, it's a match. This DNA, they sent a sample of their own DNA so we can compare it. And he's like, yeah, it's a match. I checked his scans carefully. The fragments concealed themselves in his other in the junk DNA.
Yeah.
I was like, cool.
Dormant Neanderthal DNA that's floating around in everybody's code. That's a plausible explanation.
Yeah, I totally buy that. And then he says it's making new neural connections, much like how human infants instinctually know how to like you know, hold their breath underwater and things like that. Like, it's giving him all this information. And Dana was like, well, their ability to manipulate genetic material, that's pretty insane and crazy. And then they start talking about, okay, well, when Voyager is ready to leave, like, what do we do? Like, I don't want to keep postponing a conflict. But say, well, maybe we'd have a better chance negotiating if we didn't have Harry with us, which makes sense. It's a little convenient, but makes sense. They say, okay, well,
probably just generally true even prior to this episode. I think our negotiations will go better if we just don't have Harry there.
So, okay, tell Harry that we're leaving orbit. I'm sure he won't mind.
Right.
And with any luck, we'll be back in a few hours. And I was like, dun, dun, dun. So meanwhile, down on the planet, we have Harry and Brad, whatever his real name is. They're talking about, well, right. I joined the merchant fleet because I wanted to travel the stars, bruh. And he's like me with Starfleet. And he's like, oh, well, maybe you got other Teresian traits, like a talent for math or music.
Tamon.
Mm-hmm. He's like, music, Brad. You say?
Brad.
Yeah, Brad.
I hate that guy.
Yeah, he's pretty insufferable.
He's pretty, I don't know. Like,
hey, why don't you do some drugs?
Yeah,
hey.
Yeah, when they bring in the drugs.
Yeah, it'll make you feel great.
Just a mild mood enhancer, bruh. You'll like it.
Be cool.
He's so bad.
She's going to be my first wife. I'm going to have like three of them, dog. He's like, what do they call it on Earth? It's called marriage. And then they're like, don't be afraid to indulge yourself. You're important to us. You're the miracle child. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, God.
And then, I mean, but man, it's like they've been it is like they've been studying Harry his entire life.
Yeah.
Because that's the kind of word choice you would go with, you know, with his mommy issues and his whole obsession with being a good son and being a special son.
And then he tells the story about his parents tried to conceive for so long. Yeah. And then they called him the miracle child because they didn't think they could have kids. And then they sacrificed so much so he could have everything and go to Starfleet. And he just never felt like he deserved that kind of devotion. And then he used to imagine that he had hidden powers. But Brad is like, well, now you know you have been special all your life. And I was like, oh, this is when I was like, my antenna went up. I was like, wait a minute. Okay, so we're on to a new episode. Now we're investigating the toxic... like, I believe I'm special problem that most men have.
I mean, in his defense, Cosimo made an entire reality for him.
Cosimo.
I liked you so much, Harry.
Have ulterior motives.
Here you go. It's the reality. You can be with what's his name.
I mean, I could have made you king, but instead I made you just yourself.
Give yourself
with Libby.
Your
girlfriend who only kind of likes you.
Your overbearing girlfriend who probably cheat on you soon.
You like a Libby, though.
You want a coffee? Space and mocha. Vulcan mocha, yeah? Or the mocha.
We still haven't figured out what a Vulcan mocha is so we can drink it and become powerful thereby.
I'll look in my Star Trek cookbook, the one that has Neelix on the cover. Oh, I bet Vulcan Mocha's in there.
I bet it's in there.
Okay, yes, check on that. So I was like, okay, so we are now in territory of we're investigating the Chosen One myth. Like the feeling that I'm special, I've been special all along. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, cool. So they're basically going to refute that. So he's not special. This is all a trap. This is all a trick. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. But then she's like, let me relax your muscles for you. You're going to learn to like it here. You could be happy. This uniform seems so restrictive. Why don't we get you something more comfortable? And I was like, yeah. I mean,
at this point, they're laying it on a little thick.
A little thick.
And horny though he may be.
Don't you just want to get naked, baby?
At this point, he probably, it's like, yesterday morning, no women were interested in me. Today, these women are trying to tear my clothes off. That should be a red flag, even for Harry Kim.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, it's hard to isolate the moment, I guess, in this episode where he realizes something's up.
He seems to kind of like dimly, slowly get there. And you're like, you should have figured this out a while back, man. But anyway, so back on Voyager, it's diplomacy time where they've talked to the other aliens that don't like the Teresians. And like, they're like, okay, we've agreed. It's totally fine. You can leave whenever you want. And they're like, well, I hope that you still say that when Harry comes back. Like, oh, your crew member won't be returning to
you. Yeah. Oh, that guy, he's dead.
He's super dead.
He's super dead.
And they're like, what? What are you talking about? Like, what is this hearsay? And they're like, look, forget him and be on your way. And they're like, peace out, basically. And they're like, let's go back to the planet.
Well, no, they were like, you can just leave. We're fine. But if he's on your ship, we will.
We fire on everything.
He does add that. By the way, if you do get him back, we will attack you.
Yeah.
They go back, and then there's a high-density Polaron grid that wasn't there before.
Fancy way to say force field.
Yep.
Just call it a force field.
Call it a force field, guys.
We get it.
All their communications are being blocked, and they're like, oh, I guess we're not welcome anymore. So now we go to candles. Hooded figures.
So many candles. Mm.
You'll remember what you need to know about this ceremony.
Sticks.
Hoods. Let us be joined. It's actually pretty cool. Like, as a weird, for a moment, it's like, okay, this is like a weird cultural thing that I'm watching. Okay.
I mean,
but it's so obviously low key bondage play just for titillation.
Yeah.
I was hoping they just started beating him to death. Like,
yeah, right there. Like, I was like, okay, this is it. This one's something real fucking shocking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're going to cut his throat or something.
They're
going
to slit his throat, or they're going to beat him to death with those sticks.
Beat him to death with sticks. I was hoping for that.
And they're like, yes, he's done his purpose. Now it's your turn, Harry. And then I was hoping he'd be like, cool, when? You know, like if he'd already, like,
right.
He's drunk enough of the Kool-Aid, basically. But then they talk about, and he's like, oh, what's going on? He's like, oh, it's a tradition. Do you find it exciting? He's like, I didn't think of it that way. I'm like, are you a moron, Harry? Are you an idiot?
Wait, are you saying that this is sexual in some way?
All the grunting and the silk scarves?
Stick slamming and the phallic objects? Yeah.
I guess I hadn't thought of it that way.
But isn't this a church?
So then he tries to check in with Voyager, which this is when he should be like, red alert, I've lost contact with the ship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck, hold on. But then the matriarch rolls up and she's like, oh, but they're probably just not back yet. Like, oh, but I mean, it's been a few hours. And they're like, she's like, oh, it probably just took them some time. Don't worry your pretty little head. Join the celebration. Of course you're welcome to stay the night. And I did like that power play of like, Harry's a very polite young man.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, she's extended a courtesy. So he's like, oh, well, thank you for letting me stay. And he's already caught up in the machinery of manners. Well played, evil matriarch of the sex planet. So back on Voyager, they're trying to figure out how to save Harry from the ninth episode that this has come up. At some point, there has to be the episode where they're like, okay, Harry's down there. Is it really worth putting the whole ship in danger to save him? Do we really like him that much?
Yeah.
We have other ensigns.
I want to say in the
original. Not if Chakotay strategically keeps killing them.
Well, I think. Oh, that's funny. I think that in the original version of the script, it was all about Harry. It was focused just on Harry.
Uh-huh.
And it was all about him trying to escape.
Oh, okay.
Which I think would have been a better choice.
Yeah.
He'd still be an alien, but whatever. But yeah.
I really wish they'd kept him just an alien. That would have been cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, they're like, okay, how do we get through this shield? Like, could a shuttle make it? No. And then the doctor rolls in and he's like, okay, well, this story about Ensign Kim's birth is bullshit. He's human.
He got a virus.
It's a retrovirus. he probably picked it up on some random time. Is this when they talk about it or is it later?
No, it's now. It's the away mission when they were getting beryllium or whatever.
Yeah, it was like he gave a very specific star date. Like, this is the first time when he came through the teleporter.
By the time the biofilters caught it, it had already done its thing.
Yeah, it already altered the DNA. Yeah. And then I'm like, okay, so now we know that the way this race breeds is they apparently leave the planet sometime and avoid this other alien race that is religiously hostile to destroying them.
Yeah.
And just on random other planets, leave a retrovirus.
Yeah.
That will find, and whenever by happenstance,
right,
other alien races that are compatible encounter it, their DNA gets overwritten and they are compelled to come back to home base. And so I'm like, how is this race alive?
Is it only males that it affects, and then the male has to come back and breed the old-fashioned way up until the death, I guess, which we'll get to the oversexing here in a minute.
Yeah, that seems to be it.
Like, okay.
Maybe there are no males on the planet.
But then why, if they can create a virus that can just recode someone into being a member of their race, why wouldn't you make it just affect everybody and then new people would just...
Yeah, or just take your big-ass ship out. Because they're clearly technologically superior in a lot of ways.
It seemed to be.
Like, take your big ship out and just be space pirates and capture a freighter, turn them all into breeding stock, and...
Yeah.
I think
you put a lot of thought into this.
I think
you're
making a mistake here. The mistake of trying to understand this episode.
I know. I was just like,
there are too many parts. There are too many different ways.
Yeah.
Like, there are too many cooks involved in this one.
Was this whole episode created just to justify having attractive women rubbing on a male cast member?
No. I think, initially...
What's the story they're trying to tell?
Initially, Lisa Klink wrote this episode.
Oh, uh-huh.
And
okay.
It was just, Harry Kim's an alien. He gets called back to this planet, and then he tries to escape because they're, you know, whatever.
Yeah, they're going to eat him or whatever.
But at some point, like, other executive producers and, like, I think the studio also was like, nah, sex it up. Do different things. He can't be an alien. That can't stick. You know, so it got changed. So it, like, has four different writers' input, like, after that.
Oh, okay.
You know,
okay.
So it's just a mess.
That makes a lot of sense.
There's no clear direction because, you know, they changed it.
Well, let's plow through this, Stu.
Plowing through.
So they're like, okay, so we got to get down there. Let's figure it out.
Right.
Then we go to Harry in a bedroom with a real vicious-looking brunette.
She's vicious.
Which I'm like...
She's got some dark intent.
You are in trouble, Mr. Kim.
That's like Will Riker caliber vicious brunette.
Yeah, you are not ready for this challenge. There is a skull floating above her head, sir.
She is above your level. You should come back later when you have leveled
marks
up
instead of
gained more skills.
I kind of hate how he quote unquote defeats this character a little later, because this actress, just from pure stage presence, you're like, I would not fuck with this lady. Like,
no.
She's way smarter and stronger will than Harry Kim.
Who was the holographic brunette from TNG?
Minuet.
Yeah. He's like, I hope you'll be comfortable here. You gonna tuck me in? She's like, what?
Universal translator didn't...
Yeah, it didn't kick in. I was like, oh, it's like a thing, you know, human parents tuck their children in and, you know, they read them stories, sing them a song. She's like, lie back and relax. She turns off the lights. And then she goes and gets the essential oils, the earls and lotions, and starts putting on his forehead. He's like, oh, that smells great. She's like, it's very soothing, the essence of Rica flowers. And then she's like, good night, Harry. And, like, kisses his cheek and leaves. And I'm like, what?
And he seems surprisingly okay with that.
Oh, I'm just confused. I'm like, why did the scene end that way?
Yeah.
Like, clearly her purpose is to seduce this character.
Yeah, but they have to go through the ritual, man.
Well, that wasn't clear.
Because it seems like they could have got him.
I don't think they actually have, like, sex. I think they literally, like, just harvest his DNA.
Just harvest his DNA and move on with her.
Disperse it to as many ladies as possible.
I think they just, like, sex him so much that eventually all of his fluids are just...
Death. I think all of these interpretations...
So what you're saying is death by snoo-snoo.
Death by snoo-snoo, yes.
Yes.
And there is a moment later that is very Harry versus the Amazons.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was like, that's not how I saw this scene ending.
Sure.
I'd be like, good night.
Well, bye.
Well, bye. And I was like, okay.
Okay.
It's creepy dream time.
Sometime later, he has a real creepy dream where you really have been special all your life. And it's Janeway and Chakotay telling him that he's great.
So pathetic.
Yeah.
We're learning so much about this guy's psyche that's going to make him that much harder to respect.
You know
for the
where
rest
your
of the
real
show.
Home is.
There's also a bit where, like, I think Janeway says something like, you're really special and everyone loves you. And I was like, we need to take that clip out and just play it for ourselves whenever we need a little boost. And then it gets sort of muddled where I'm like, wait, is he dreaming or is he back awake now? Because he basically wakes up and he's having sort of a dreamsome. Well, now there's two ladies in his bed.
Yes.
Sort of sexily writhing on him.
He's awake.
I mean, maybe they're not really writhing. Maybe that's just in my head. That's what I wanted to happen.
They're They're literally just next to him.
And also, they're in like
they're
a
kissing him and stuff.
They're doing that.
Kissing him and stuff.
They're not writhing.
They're kissing and rubbing and stuff.
they're
holding his hands.
But also,
there's some like moderate petting here. Come on, man.
They're also in like a twin bed. And so both of them are like, both of the ladies are like about to fall off.
This show is on a budget, sir. We can't buy a queen.
Look. Buy that queen.
It takes a lot of money to seed retroviruses across the galaxy. We can't get king-size beds for everybody.
Okay, so they basically are laying on the sales pitch again, right, of like, hey, give in to your natural desires. You can't fight genetics.
Why is he suddenly suspicious now?
Now he's suspicious.
Why was that dream what of everybody changed? Trying to make out with him and tell him how great he is suddenly made him suspicious?
I think...
Because it was his mom saying, you know where you come from.
It reinforced his feeling of duty to his captain mom and the ship.
Yeah.
That's what we're supposed to get. It's a bit of a leap. It's not a huge leap, but you're like, okay. Because he does eventually say, like, no, I got to go back to the ship. I have a loyalty to Voyager, all that stuff. Then they're like, we'll make you glad you stayed. And then he's like, well, I guess it wouldn't be so terrible. Now we see Harry trying to be a trickster.
Indeed.
And it is, that pair of pants does not fit well on Harry Kim.
Nope.
It's just like, what's happening?
Nice. Totally tricked him.
They also tell him you'll never be alone again, which should be more tempting than he acts like it is.
Yeah.
Right.
But then he's like, well, let me tie you to this chair. This could be exciting.
Yeah, sexy time.
You both want to make me happy, don't you? And they're like, wait a minute. What, this is a trick. Which took them too long to figure that out.
I like
that. And then he clubs a nice lady in the back of the head.
The second girl.
He ties one up and then just totally.
They're a little slow in the uptake. Like, because when he's not tying her up in like a sexy, I've got a nice soft ribbon I'm going to wrap around your wrist. It's like, I put you in a chair, I blindfold you, I bound your hands behind the chair.
This is the, I'm abducting you.
And the other girl just watches it for like 3 minutes where she's like, wait a second.
Which up to this point, he has no reason to believe they are a danger to him. Like, he just believes that they really want him to stay. They're trying to pressure him to stay.
Right.
But he, like, clubs her in the back of the head. It's the next scene before he learns that they killed Brad.
They kill people.
Yeah.
I was like, dag, Harry. Those ladies were showing you a very nice time. I would think your mother raised you better. Your real mom and your captain mom.
She raised him to know... For him to know better than for a woman to want to show him a nice time.
He's like, there's no way this is real. There's no way this is real.
I am Harry Kim.
But then he sneaks down to Brad's room, which he learned at some point where Brad's room was,
I guess.
They're bros.
Tamon. I also love when he like knocks on the door. He's like, dude, it's Harry.
Hey, dude, hey, bro.
Dude,
bro, you in there, dude, bro?
I didn't see a sock on the doorknob.
There's no sock on the doorknob, bro.
There is no doorknob, but I'm going to break in. I hope it's okay. He pushes the door open, and we see a desiccated sack of a man.
He's been jizzed to death.
He's been removed of all fluid, jism included. He's a mummy. He's a mumra that's been sexed to death.
They should have just put, like, on that... like a big smile on the face of that desiccated corpse. Like, would have been a hilarious sight gag if he just had a big grin. Yeah.
Which they do show kind of off to the side table. There's a bunch of like weird implements. Like he grabs one. So like, I do think we're supposed to think they didn't literally have sex with him. They literally just harvested all his DNA. Which I guess we're supposed to get that they have to do this ceremony culturally before they can harvest.
It's not a scientific reason.
Because I'm like, why didn't, like, the moment they get there, just throw them in a closet and harvest all their DNA?
Although there does, like, if you look at the corpse prop, there are, like, these weird blister-looking things where they put the paint. Where they applied the red paint. So I wonder if that's somehow part of the preparatory. There is some scientific purpose to that.
Oh, they're like marking key places.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Who knows what they do from there. Yeah, but.
Who knows until we write a fan fiction of
Poor Brad. Chad, what do we call
Poor Brad. I also forgot that scene earlier where he like bit his lower lip made me want to like vomit in my mouth.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. So then Harry grabs one of the tools, has no idea what it does, but he's going to use it to fight back.
It's pokey. He's like, I'm poking in the face.
One of the Amazons comes in and he's like, is this what I should expect on my honeymoon? To lead me to the slaughter? There are no men here. They're killed. And then he's basically kind of grasping at straws. And he's like, was anything you told me true? And they're like, no.
You mean you didn't want to have sex with me?
Not even a little bit?
No.
Didn't even like my haircut like you said you did?
Not even a little bit.
And then they explain that, no, they just get transformed into compatible mates, and then we grind them up, and that's it. After we have the bondage marriage.
Right.
That is the law. Then on back on Voyager, like, okay, well, we're going to fly Voyager through this grid, and for reasons, and they do.
But I thought the hole was too small.
But if they grind Voyager through the small hole, it becomes a bigger hole, and then they're in the force field, and Chakotay's like, then I'll have to be quick, and then it's like, more speed, ramming speed, and then another ship comes, and battle stations, and anyway. So then we go to Harry versus the Amazons, where they all have quarter staves, and they're just going to beat him to death and take his fluids. Ceremony no longer required.
I feel like if they have the technology to put a force field around their entire planet, they could have probably come up with something better than a big old stick to subdue somebody.
Like, yep.
Stun him, maybe.
No.
Maybe a taser.
But also, the matriarch says, this could have been a joyous occasion. Now we're just going to harvest your fluids. I'm like, so that means that the whole bondage marriage, not required at all.
Yeah.
Also, the theoretically days to weeks of like making the boy feel nice and rubbing his shoulders. Mm-hmm. And like, no, the moment he gets off the ship, just be like, crack him on the back of the head, harvest the fluids, let's move on.
Is it possible that's a cultural thing? Maybe they're like, well, we want him to die happy. Have him
like their
happy
veal.
Days. Yeah. Treat it really well before you denucleate
everything.
We need everything.
Their chism to be veal. We don't need angry semen. We need placid, a little bit drunk, a little horned up. That's how we like it. Kissy hands emoji. Okay. So they're like, there's nowhere to go. And then they beam Harry right out of the center. Actually, good blocking of all the people, all the Amazons around him with the staff.
Yeah.
And I was like, does this count as a beam of shame?
Oof. He wishes.
He wishes. So back on Voyager, they're like, we got him. Three Nassari ships are coming in. Harry runs in. Then I want to be like, nice tunic.
I will say, just to double back real quickly, though, they surround him with sticks, and the matriarch says something, and then they, like, one of the girls hits the chime, and another one grabs the red paint.
Mm.
So they are still going to marry. They're just going to forcibly marry.
They're just going to forcibly marry him.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. Okay. I did miss that. But also want to throw out, Garrett Wong looks great in that tunic. That low-cut
the deep V-neck.
I'm like, yeah boy.
It. Yeah.
You've been working hard on those pecs, and it's working out for you, buddy. It's also just a cool design. Well, honestly, the costuming of them is pretty good. Like, I was like,
it's all right.
I dig it.
Why does he look up when they're beaming him out? I mean, I guess it's kind of a cool shot, but like...
Yeah, come on. You get beamed all the time.
He's been beamed around before. He's not looking up. Is there something up there?
It's like, that's where the camera was, Josh.
Yeah, pretty much.
Don't be an idiot.
Pretty much.
Don't be an idiot, Josh.
But anyway,
that's where they put the camera.
He runs onto the bridge. And they're like, okay.
No, but I agree. That's the only reason he looks up is for that shot. That's it.
Yeah.
It's silly. It's so silly.
And so they like, he's back on the bridge, and they're like, okay, well, our only hope is that the Amazons and the other aliens that hate the Amazons will fight each other instead of us. Luckily, they do.
That's convenient.
They literally fly right past Voyager to attack each other.
Mm-hmm.
And Voyager bounces.
Mm-hmm.
And Tuvok's like, we're no longer being pursued. Mm-hmm. Nor will we ever be. Let's never speak of this.
End of this episode.
Now we jump to the last scene. And despite all the many things that were pretty honking stupid and offensive in this episode, I would lay the case that this bit is the most where they explain to us that this was a metaphor for the sirens from the Odyssey.
Wow, now I get
it. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
So oh my God, true. I get it.
So true.
Ah, I'm a fucking moron,
so
Voyager.
True.
Thank you.
Oh my God.
Oh, imparted, Jesus Christ.
They imparted the true wisdom upon me. Oh, oh my God.
This thing we all read in the seventh grade.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. The most obvious thing that it could be.
Tell me more.
That's what it was.
All right. That's enough.
Anyway.
Yes.
Even just, an oblique reference to it. Well, like Odysseus and the Sirens, you survived, you know, or something like that. But he's like, see, what Odysseus did was there were these things called Sirens, and they were pretty, and he tied himself to a mast, but he made everybody else put wax in their ears. It's like, Jesus, we freaking get it.
And the thing is, what it doesn't even match up to the story you told.
No, it doesn't.
He's not Odysseus in that story.
No.
No.
You're just the guy who just jumped off the boat.
Who
died?
Yeah, he died.
Except you got lucky.
It'd be like you jumped off the boat before they even started singing.
Yeah.
He led them there.
Yeah, let's go right to that island, guys.
Yeah.
No reason.
Yeah.
But anyway, past that, we get some nice back and forth between Paris and Tom. No, excuse me, Paris and Harry. talking about, you know, I think you should have kept some of those spots. They look good. And then, you know what, that's not so bad being you. He's like, because Harry's talking about, it felt great to feel like I was special and important. And then they have some talk about, like, Harry's like, well, I want to be more like you, Tom. And he's like, well, you need some jail time to make that happen.
Maybe some prison time involved.
Prison time. And then, but then Tom puts on his earnest hat and he's like, actually, my role model has been you. I've tried to be more like you. And Harry's like, what? And then they're like, no, for real. And they just walk out and it's very jovial and, I like that bit.
I maintain it would have been better if Tom had been like, nah, I'm just kidding. Why would I want to be like you?
You suck. Bum, bum,
bum, bum, bum, bum. You're a loser.
God, bye.
So,
what?
Yeah, final thoughts.
This episode is not.
What was
not
the
good.
Point of this journey
yeah,
that
is,
we went on?
There is
only to find out that Kim is what we knew he was, which is a decent guy about which there is nothing special or spectacular in any way.
Yep.
He is a thorough mediocrity, a likable mediocrity. It was dangled in front of us that maybe there was something more. Nope. It's not. This is what you got for the next four seasons.
I think all we learned was that every night he dreams about his mom.
I think we may have already known that.
We confirmed it.
We had
our suspicions, but this confirmed it.
Confirmed.
No, it clearly suffered of having too many people at the wheel. To the point where no one could possibly know what the fuck this episode is about.
Should have let Lisa Klink tell the story she wanted to tell.
I think so, too.
Freaking way.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. I think it would have been a good episode then.
No, like I said, I was trying to follow it. I was like, okay, so it's about guilt and the pressures that they're under. No. It's about, you're special. You've always wanted to be special. Now you are special. But now you also find out that you're not special and you never were.
Go back to the ship.
Also, women are tricksters.
Right.
Who want to grind you up in a blender and drink you.
That's true. True story.
There is no healthy relationship. It's also weirdly sex negative. I don't know if that's a real term. I know sex positive is.
It's got to be,
anyone who is actively, excitedly consenting to a sexual encounter with
must have an ulterior motive.
They must have an ulterior motive.
Something. Yeah, and out of character for the way sex has been represented generally positively throughout this season so far. We talked, I guess, on Darkling about how, like, Kes, when we talked about the beam up of shame, where she was not actually ashamed, and how proud of Voyager we were for the fact that she was like, yeah, y'all, I just got it, you know. That was
That's the line.
That's how they wrote it. And, you know, but that's, and there's been a few other, you know, examples like that throughout season three. But I don't think that the sex negative part was even deliberate. It really,
it just kind of happened. They
goes
didn't think
back
it through.
To this whole story just turning into a jumbled mess.
Or was it just polygamy is bad? Is that what it is?
Yeah. They've moved on from assisted suicide, and now Brandon Braga is going to get like six anti-polygamy episodes.
No, I agree. I think they shouldn't have tried to make it about something bigger. I think it should have just been about Harry Kim's an alien. Who knew? And that could have been the episode.
What a fun new toy you had to play with moving forward. Now Harry's an alien.
And he's got spots on his head, and he looks less generic.
Yeah, he looks better with the spots.
I liked him with the spots.
Spot!
Yeah.
Yeah. What's up, Spot? I don't care if it's racist. I'm calling you that from now on.
Try and stop me.
Yeah, it's just a mess.
Yeah.
It's just a mess. A horned up, weird mess with some good costuming.
Not fun horny, like but disconcerting horny.
But it's
horny.
Not, because they like any moment where they like almost go to the horny places, they're like, well, good night.
Good night. What?
What? Wait, I thought we.
Oh, that's very much like that happens in real life. You're like, I'm going to raise my hand. I have a question.
I even would have liked to have seen them do something like they did at the end of the Armus Skin of Evil thing, whatever that one was called, where they like leave a beacon to say just to be out there for the next eon, being like, hey, stay the hell away from this planet. Yeah. They're entrapping you. If a member of your crew wants to come here, don't. They're going to
the responsible, diligent thing.
Yeah, they just kind of like bounce, peace out, like, you'll get some other poor sucker to get all loved up on. And
well, bye. Also, like, I would assume he wasn't the only person in that away team. Why was he the only one affected?
No, maybe
he's the only compatible mate.
But that's the whole point, is that the virus genetically rewrites you so that you become
if they're compatible.
Could be some baseline compatibility they have to have there. Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't work on certain races. Sure, sure. Blah, blah, blah.
Okay. Maybe he was the only male on that away team. Could have been him and Kaplan.
Could be.
Oh, Kaplan.
And then she died.
Imagine if this had happened to Vorik while he was going through the pond farm.
Wait, where is Bork?
We haven't seen this entire
Bork
planet.
Just hidden now?
He's fine.
Do we not see Bork anymore?
Bork's taking some time.
He's doing his job.
Bork has to be stationed in the deuterium tanks for a few weeks to just get his head right.
What if this episode came before the pond far episode, and then in the middle of the pond far, when he's like, it's like, oh, wait, let's just go back to that.
Take me back to the sexy planet.
Take me back to the sexy planet.
I can take it. My Vulcan physiology can.
We're going to drop you off there.
Withstand their sex blender.
We're just going to drop you off. You'll be all right. We'll pick you up in a couple days.
We didn't even do final thoughts. I don't think we need to.
We just kind of stumbled our way through it. But it's just dumb and confusing and bad.
I liked it.
I thought it was great. No, you did not.
I thought it was maybe the best thing since
Well, it's much like Scylla.
The two-beam flashlight. Right. It's like that, you know, you're in the cave with the Cyclops, and you know.
Oh, you got a stick.
No one is hurting me. See what he did? See, he said his name was No One.
Oh, man.
We've read a book, too, Voyager. Thanks for playing. The good citizens of the jury have reviewed the evidence. Gentlemen, your closing arguments.
Thank you, Your Honor. Favorite son is garbage. It has no idea what it is. It has no idea what it wants to be. And I have no idea how it got made in the first place. Good loud, people. Good loud. It's a male fantasy piece, I think, with a dark twist. Unfortunately, that dark twist is that it's fucking awful. Thank you.
Commander Spurlock.
Your Honor, we always knew there was nothing special about Harry Kim. He's just some putz who caught a retrovirus that gave him trill spots and almost resulted in him getting loved up to death. But to have that confirmed by this episode, to see his dreams of specialness finally crushed like a cheap clarinet under the heel of a professional clarinet crusher, well, all I'll say is, thank you, Voyager, for rewarding our disdain for this useless piece of driftwood moping its way through the Star Trek universe.
Ultimately, the fate of this voyage is up to you good beings on the jury, but it is my august responsibility to make judgment based on the evidence and argument placed before the court today. After reviewing it all, I hereby decree that Case 320, Favorite Son, is garbage. These verdicts cannot be appealed. They are final and irrevocable within this quadrant, space-time continuum, and county. Court adjourned. Boom.
The People vs. Star Trek Voyager is recorded in front of no one. Space Judgment 19 Later is played by Derek Adams. The prosecution, Super Sea Lord, Super Admiral of the Grand Super Fleet, John Q. Continuum, Esquire, is played by Jonathan Sparks. The defense, Commander Matthias Zap Spurlock, is played by Josh Darnell. All episodes of Star Trek Voyager are presumed good until proven garbage.
Shadow Public Radio presentation. For more excruciating action, please subscribe on iTunes or wherever you seek podcast content.